Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Well, we needed that worship this morning, amen. Some of us were at that point. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we are here again. We come empty, come thirsty. Fill us. Reach out to us. Touch us in that deepest part of our being. Help us. Save us. Help us. Help us. We give you glory. Thank you. My heart is fixed upon you, Lord. My soul gazes. My heart is fixed upon you, Lord. My soul gazes into your love, into your love, into your love, into your love. My soul gazes at your love. Into your love.
Into your love. Into your love. Into your love. Into your love.
Into your love.
Into your love.
Into your love, oh God.
Into your love.
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 Into your love. Let me gaze into your love.
Into your love.
Let me gaze into your love.
Into your love.
Thank you. Our heart is fixed upon you, O God. Cause our soul to gaze into your love, so that we may be truly established in the will of the Father, that nothing will be broken and nothing missing. Jehovah Shalom. Thank you. Thank you. You're a good, good Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Our God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let's start from Isaiah chapter 4. We'll continue in our series, Apostolic People in Apostolic Times. And I hope that in these next few minutes, I can, maybe for the first time, do justice to this. If I can get you to see the Lord, I would have gotten you to a proper place. Isaiah chapter 4 says, in that day seven men shall take hold of one man saying, we will eat our own bread, we will wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. In that day, when this begins to happen, shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that have escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and they that remain in Jerusalem, they shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. For the Lord would have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and would have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place in Zion and upon the assembly a cloud, a smoke by day, the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the east, and a place of refuge and for a covert from storm and from rain. Cause your word to come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven, and let us be truly fed by the very words that come from your mouth. In the name of Jesus, be glorified, our priest, our high priest, and we thank you for the ministry of your blood this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I started sharing with you, and I began to talk to you about the seven mountains, mountain of the media, talking about the mountain of government, economy, education, entertainment, family, and I said to us that religion, and I said to us that these are the seven mountains that govern human civilization. I said, but there are two other mountains, one of which is the mountain of the house of the Lord, and then the mountain of the Lord. The mountain of the house of the Lord speaks about the church of Jesus Christ, who is that branch that will be beautiful and glorious in a day. This day speaks of that day where chaos will become the order of the day. Forget about all you hear about freedom, human rights, it will only bring us chaos. And God will allow that chaos to prevail. God will allow that chaos to prevail because the strength of light is most glorious when it is side by side with darkness. Scripture tells us in the book of John chapter 1, it said it was this light that shined in darkness. It said darkness could not what? Comprehend. The light did not annihilate the darkness. It thrived in the midst of the darkness. That is, seems to be an anomaly, because wherever you find light, darkness should vanish. It's also another parable where Jesus said, let the wheat and the tares abide together till the day of the harvest. In that day the Lord will release prophetic angels who will come to declare the time of the harvest. In that season, every word spoken will bring in the harvest. Right now it seems that we are over laboring, or seems like we are over stressing ourselves, because it takes quite a bit to win a soul. Because right now everybody reads the Bible, everybody's born again. Even people that we know need salvation go on radio now for 5 minutes to tell us that we don't know what we are doing. The chaos will thrive because of the fallen state of those of us seated here in the church. But God will allow that chaos, because there will be a separation of waters from waters. There's going to be a coming out of the church from the church. A large part of the church will embrace falsehood, and God will allow it. God will allow it. Not because that is his perfect will, but because this earth has been given to man, and man will definitely most likely choose darkness instead of light. But in the midst of this darkness, which represents a type of people, God will cause his sons to arise in the light. They will not be perfect people, but they will be broken people. He said, to whom shall the Lord reveal his strength and his arm? He said, the man that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at the word of God. He said, to this man will God reveal himself. In this day of revelation, in this day where Jesus is going to be revealed again, that revelation, that sighting of the Son, that ability to see what he's doing in the midst of the chaos, will only be possible or accessible to those who are of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. The destiny of the church is glory. That is the destiny of the church. And not just glory of itself, but glory in as a result of our union with the Lord. That every time God is trying to bring us instruction, or simple instructions for the use of the word, it is because it's to bring us into union with his throne. And every time we have disobeyed, every time we have walked away from simple instructions, we have taken ourselves further from our union with his throne. One of the ways you will know that we are coming into the day of chaos will be the emphasis of the church in the last days. We will emphasize things that are more earthly, more easily understood, more material, over eternal things. So we are going to have lots of people in church who are coming simply because they don't want to go to club, not because they have found the Savior. That more conversions will be going on the streets than in the church. And it's an anomaly. That few people will find the fire, but there will be scarcity of where to put them. God will not risk some of his children stepping into certain places again in order to preserve what he's doing on their end. In that day, the branch of the Lord will rise beautiful, because our righteousness, which is his righteousness, will preserve us. We need to prepare for that day, because there is a season that is called that day. In that day, the age of the church age. I'm not talking about where we have churches everywhere. I'm talking about the day where the church rises into sonship. In that day where God can now say, go and take that mountain. Who is a good example? We look at the life of Caleb. At the age of 80, Caleb had the strength of a young man, and he said to his pastor Moses, you made a promise to me. As I speak to you, I am ready to take that mountain. What is that suggestive of? That God will not allow babies do a man's job. God will rather keep us and allow evil hold sway than to send a baby to do a man's job. Our songs will change. our emphasis will change. Our doctrine of the Spirit will change. Because this is the day of the Son. The day of the Son. The third day church. The church that is perfected in the full weight and the glory of God. Church is not going to be business as usual. Because the church that I'm introducing to you has never been. It is a church that has been growing from eternity past. And growing, and is going to morph into something the world has never seen before. If you speak of wealth, they will have it. Yet the world will take their hearts away from him. If you speak of influence, the church will have it. Yet it will be an influence for his glory. Everywhere we turn, scripture speaks in the book of Joel chapter 2. Say wherever they turn to, they take that place. Behind them is what? Is what? And before them is what? Eden. Say they leap through walls. They do not break their ranks. They understand apostolic protocol and order. They can tell when they come into a place where there are two or three believers. They can tell who is the elder. They are not trying to be big on revelations, sharing revelations. They are big in their love for God. That day is upon us. Because even as I speak to you, the Lord is walking behind the scenes, purifying us in fire, making us better according to his image, making us better according to his image. And how is he doing that? By giving us certain exposures in the word of God and then matching them with realistic experiences and causing us to choose him again. We keep choosing him and choosing him and choosing him till we become lost in him. This church will not be idolatrous. They will not be adulterous. No. They will not be adulterous. A generation persuaded of the things that are to come. They will walk like Abraham, having only a promise, yet willing to run with it. As at the time Abraham was dying, he only had a burial ground. That was the only thing he could locate for himself in Canaan. But he believed in his dying day that there was a revival that was coming. There was a people that will arise in the earth in the full stature of the weight of God. People that God will look on the earth and say, these are my friends. Like he said to Abraham, this is my friend. We must understand that we were born for such a time as this, and that it will no more be business as usual. That for everyone who chooses to do God and do him till he becomes a God addict, God will bless them with his presence, and he will begin to they will become a body for him to dwell in. And that you will not just be a Christian anymore by the name, but you'll be a Christian by his signature. Because wherever you turn, his presence will be too obvious. Even those who cannot see will say there is something different about this person. There's a church day that is upon us. It's a day where those who have compromised and who have turned their backs on him because of flimsy excuses and because of the appetite, the things they need to eat and the things that they cannot turn away from, they will close their eyes in shame and they will weep like the foolish virgins because they did not choose when God required them to take a choice. In this day and time, God is calling us to a place of fresh consecration, a place where we choose him again. We choose him again. When Paul said that I choose to die daily, he was talking about a choosing again, a consecration again, a dedication again. Peradventure, the revival we did last night in Antioch had sapped us to the point where we begin to think this is about us. We've come to die again. That the day you begin to look at your journey in God and you think you have tried. Because some of us think we have actually earned our rank. In this day, the glory of God upon us will be so strong and powerful that it will compel those who are falling away to come again to seek and say, let us follow you to the mountain to seek your God. How lovely are your tabernacles, O God. We want to walk as Jesus walked. We want to see as Jesus saw. We want to hear as he heard you. We want our judgment not to be based on what our eyes can see, but by the dictates of the Spirit upon our hearts. God is going to give this church the ability to understand divine things. We are going to be persuaded beyond earthly realities of the dealings of God upon us. We will not be ashamed to declare our stand for him. We will not be ashamed to die for him. You see, right now it looks like we are in a democracy. Watch out for the days that are coming. A day will come, and Jesus spoke to us of this day, that anyone who kills you will think he's doing God a favor. We will be sons and daughters purified by fire. Our moment of our greatest warfare will be the moment of our greatest harvest. There's an harvest that is coming. God is going to raise men that will go into the nations of the earth, of whom power of fire and of whom the power of the sword will not have effect over. They will walk into areas men have said do not come. They will be faceless yet forceful. They will cause the damage and escape the danger. They will walk into dead zones and they will bring life there. These are not going to be big men. They are going to be people like yourself and myself. And you need to get ready for that day, because that day is upon us. Scripture tells us, it says that the Lord will wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and he will purge us by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of fire. Jesus speaking, or John was speaking, that when he was asked that, are you the Messiah? He said, I'm not the Messiah, for I baptize you with water. He said, but he that is coming after me, he will baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and with fire. There's a baptism of the Holy Ghost separate from the baptism of fire. This is the spirit of burning that was being spoken of here, where Isaiah prophesied and spoke about the purification, the washing away of filth by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. We have to get ready for this, that the Lord will bring us into a place where we choose righteousness because we love righteousness. We won't be trying not to sin. We will walk in the love of God till we've loved ourselves out of sin. You cannot overcome sin by works. You cannot try to stop fornicating by running away from men or from women. If you could do it, it would not have been necessary for Jesus to come. This is the day of his grace, where people will be able to look at themselves and say, I just got here because of the work of his grace. There was nothing of me in this, except that the grace of God was made available to me. In this day, when scripture says the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, God speaks about the beauty he's bringing into your lives, where all your needs will be met. Oh, you won't even have wants. To activate any prophetic word, you have to first believe it. Secondly, you have to start speaking it. There are people who didn't, who had and who have prophecies hanging over their lives, and nobody's doing anything about it. Because what we've known of prophecy is that you come into a place and then somebody begins to root like a parrot and tells you what is going to happen to you. And then you go home and tell your husband or your wife at home, oh, this is what the prophet said. And then you say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And you have your dinner and you go to bed, waiting for prophecy to fulfill itself. Those days are over. Because for you, for prophecy to be ignited, prophecy is the language of heaven. In the search of a man who is maintaining the posture or carrying the posture of heaven, the body language that is required for that season. And many times prophecies have jumped from the people it was meant for and had gone searching for another man, simply because yes, the prophecy was yours, but you didn't have the posture for it. You are waiting for a mistake to happen to your destiny. But Jesus knew he was born because he was the savior of the world, but he wasn't sitting down lounging. He learned how to accurately measure. When he needed to measure a piece of wood, he would use his tape rule and measure it accurately. He could have cut corners and no one would know, but he decided to do it properly. God was training him in the school of truth when no man was seeing him. Don't wait for a mistake to happen to your destiny. The real testament and the real teachings you will receive from the Lord will be done in your secret places. You must begin to value the dealings of God upon you. Every time you are studying the word of God in your room and the Lord begins to speak certain things to your heart, let it mean the world to you. It's not because it happened on stage. That's not what makes it glorious. It's because he said it to you when you were alone. Every prophetic word that comes to you, not mixed with the spirit of faith, we amount to nothing. It doesn't matter how beautiful or glorious that prophecy is. I say this because we look at all the chaos that is in the world right now, and it is very hard sometimes to believe that there's a revival coming. But while you are here trying to explain away your situation, there's someone right now in Côte d'Ivoire, South Africa, Iceland, in the prison. God is going to raise men again who will say, Lord, I just have only one purpose to live: to advance your kingdom on the earth. If you give me one more chance at this, I won't mess it up. You can't continue to eat your cake and have it. Samson knew his time was up. If Samson had asked the Lord to restore his sight, and God will ask, for what purpose? What Samson could not achieve with two eyes, he achieved it when his two eyes were taken away. Could it be that your gaze is what is bringing corruption into your soul? Could it be that the things you are putting so much attention on, those legitimate nonsense, and the things that are turning your gaze away from his love, and you are becoming a bit distracted, such that every time you are not trying to choose between good and evil, you are trying to choose between good and good, and you are becoming confused because this good also makes sense. It's time for us to make up our mind. Jesus had risen and he was walking on the road of Emmaus, and there were these two disciples talking about Jesus, and Jesus was in their midst. They didn't know the person they were talking to was Jesus. Speaking about a picture of where we have found ourselves, where we do so much talking and he's not there. He's just there like, you guys don't even know I'm here. Where he is not even free to release his presence amongst us, because even that will be corrupted because of our gaze. Because our gaze is not even primarily on him. When you open your scriptures in the morning to read your Bible, or you wake up in the morning to pray, what really is the motivation behind that action? Are you doing it because that's what you have been taught over time, or because you need to gaze into his love? Do you know that it is only God that can restore the things that you have lost? Why do you serve him with an intention? If you knew somebody was getting close to you because of something he wanted to collect from you tomorrow, how would you feel? Say, oh, she's a hypocrite. Oh, I don't like lies. You see, I'm a very real person. I tell you the way it is. That's what everybody has been saying. Yet we have so much hypocrisy in the world. Someone is going through a tough time. Say, you should have faith. Have faith. What's wrong with you? Jesus got to where Lazarus was buried and he was crying. You can't be holier than he is. You've got to be a priest that is touched with the feelings of people's infirmity. When someone falls into sin, don't go there and begin to preach at the person. Go there and begin to fall. Peradventure, if you had done your own job as a brother, she would not have fallen. You didn't see yourself in the equation. Always looking at yourself and thinking, oh, we thank God for where God has. You should just shut up right now. What do you know about mercy? What do you know about grace? See that mountain we are talking about? That mountain. These mountains. We have sent men there and they didn't come back. Do you know how many politicians we know that are still there now? We knew they were Christians way back, but we can't really place them anymore. When Lord asked me to start pastoring, I was afraid. One of my fear was that I knew one or two people who, before they became pastors, they were very okay. Very okay. But after they became pastors, nobody came to Count Bridge in Lagos. Oh, God only sent you to pastor one person, your wife. All we were using in our former place at Association Road, the manager told me, he said he called, the pastor was there before, and said, maybe you should stop coming here. Now, I think that if I am paying for the hall, it doesn't matter what I do, right? But this manager felt for this other pastor and said, maybe you should be meeting your parlor. Because you've been here for like 6 months, it's just you and your wife that keeps coming. Now, for those of you who are in that hall, you know that hall is probably like twice this place. Probably could sit like 150, 200. But the man was there. The man said, no, there's something I am seeing in the spirit. He said, yeah, I know what you're saying in the spirit, but you need to stop paying. This is 40,000 per week. For just you and your family, you can keep the 40,000 and meet in your parlor. The man left upset and, you know, like my ministries, God didn't call me. At what point do we begin to think God called somebody? Because people showed up. When God says come, he was talking to you. Who comes with you eventually is not your business. You answer your call. Leave the people. That's why many people into the will of God and they get stuck there. It's not just pastors. You get into the will of God, you get into that business, all of a sudden you become a slave to what God has given you. What God gave you, just notice you can't even sleep anymore. You can't travel. Because you don't know what they are going to do. There are pastors who traveled for 1 month or 2 months before they came. The other pastors, you go to me, Kenny, and Bola, they share the church, share the members, and rename the church. Say, left the hall for him, then took the... I'm not joking. Bro, I'm not joking, you know. You understand? They know the people I'm talking about. They share the church, pursue the pastor's wife. I say, when God calls you, you have to take responsibility. It was you that was called. If that doesn't mean anything to you, you are waiting for people to validate your call. You are waiting for the presence of people to give you the confirmation that you are called. These are the things that swallow up men on the mountain. And that's why before Jesus began to teach the Beatitudes, he took them to the mountain. Called the Sermon on the Mount and began to teach them the ways of God. And after the teaching, he will now take the disciples separately and begin to interpret what he taught. Jesus knew that the bulk of those people were a mixed multitude, that they will not learn anything. That will not be your case. That you'll be in the midst of what God is doing and you are just missing. And God is coming back to the church. Are you hearing me? God is coming back to the church. And when he comes back, people will be afraid. I said to you last week, when he comes back, he will not come like a gentleman. He will come in his glory, the way Isaiah saw him. And when he comes, China's television will rush down. They will rush down here. AIT will rush down here. TBN will come down here. Are you listening to me? Somewhere in some town in the US, this man of God had gone to this town to hold to this church to hold a revival program for like 3 days. And on the particular day during that meeting, they were worshiping like we did this morning, and the power of God was so strong. They could sense the power of God was just, you know, it was just going on and on and on and on. And the pastor, the host pastor, went to the altar hoping he could manage the spirit and bring up the man of God. Sir, this thing we are talking about is stature. Journey is what is on your inside. We can be looking at the treasures of glory, and you will be able to take 5 steps towards that glory, and someone else will be able to take 15 steps. It is what you've been feeding on when no one saw you that will determine how close you can come. That man of God got to the pulpit, and as he was, you know, hoping the choir would just bring it to a close, the power of God took the pulpit into the air and smashed it. A pulpit like this. This is, you fall on this, you will feel it. The power of God lifted this. This was in the US. Lifted the pulpit and smashed it. Picked the pastor, flung him off the pulpit. So who else wants to say something? The guest minister could not get on that thing. Yeah. So, let's just worship him from where we are. Amen. God is everywhere. Hallelujah. When you see him, you will know your level. The pastor had to, you know, they had to take the pastor into the office. And when people came there to, you know, see what was going on, once they enter the office and you touch anybody, you too, you just glued there. The guest minister noticed people were going to the office, nobody was coming out. So when they go say, ah, sir, if you go, you won't come back. They were just caught up in the spirit. What happened here this morning is what happens when God crashes realms and brings heaven and earth together. You don't need anything. The situation is out of control. God is free to move. He's free to, like, okay, some people here are quite serious. And he finds it comfortable to release himself. Just a bit of himself, and everywhere is in chaos. Those days are coming. When they come, those people who go online and say rubbish against the church will swallow their spit. Because they will now realize that now you will type something on Facebook, instantly the judgment will be coming. Because when Ananias was joined, the people began to fear. We will take those mountains not because they gave it to us, or we took it by force. It will be because there is no other way. Take it. The glory of God upon your life will be so evident. What happened to Moses? That men could not look into his eyes. And the Bible said this was a glory that was fading away. That at the height of that glory, it was already faded, like you are wearing faded clothes. You won't know how faded your clothes are until you are sitting close to somebody whose clothes are still fresh. Say that glory was what? Fading away. It was already passing. And yet it was blinding the eyes of men, such that Moses almost became a god. And it took God to personally come for his body, because he would have become another Shango today if anybody laid hands on that body and kept it. The way Elisha's bones was transmitting power even after the body had decayed is the same way So if you dance around the cups 7 times and then use your handkerchief to rub the body, take that handkerchief back to your country, it will do miracles and there will be testimony, sir, because it's working. Okay, we're not talking theology here, this thing is working. I went, my mother's eyes was restored. Ah, this Moses. So God knows what we are capable of. He decided to come for the body himself. Here, can I have it? What Moses was operating with, and please follow me, was stronger than what Adam was operating with. Because with one sweep of that rod, it could bend time. It could bend seasons. It could split entire oceans. You know what I'm saying? It could reverse anomalies just by saying it. Adam had not grown to the height of realizing his own potential before he failed. How old was Caleb when he asked for a city? How old was Moses when God called him? There is a stature that God allows time to pass you through. As you mature in it, I do not expect that 10 years from now, the same glory I see in you is the same glory I would see 10 years from now. Because there is a revelation of glory that should come to you as a result of the passage of time. It should be thicker and it should be heavier. And all of that thing you see with Caleb being able to take a city even in his old age, all you saw with Moses, the Bible says those things are passing away. As powerful as the grace of God upon Moses was, Moses didn't have the Holy Ghost inside of him. All of that stuff was on his head, not in his heart. And you have the Holy Ghost in you. And for all you care, the usefulness has been reduced to speaking in tongues. You don't see that that baptism was what turned a shy guy to an evangelist that brought 3,000 people in one day. You didn't see a connection between that baptism. That to be baptized does not mean they pour water on your head. It means you are ushered into a new realm. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If you are hoping that you are going to rise through the ranks and beat Dangote at what he does, you still don't understand. We are not talking about works. We are talking about grace. What grace does to a man when it finds him. That takes a man who did not go to school, who didn't know anything except fisherman work, and the Holy Ghost came upon him. And that guy said, this is the fulfillment of those things which have been written. If you didn't know Peter, you would think he went to one of the theology schools. Peter didn't go to school. But there is an higher knowledge breathing on his inside. All of a sudden, Peter can make connections between Joel and his experience. All of a sudden, Jesus will repeat several things again and again, and Peter will not see the dots. But when the Holy Ghost came, everybody, nobody could talk. It was only Peter that received the grace to oscillate between two realms. And he was talking in tongues and was sharing the gospel. The people could not resist him. The only thing they could say, what would you have us do? You think you want true conversion? It's by the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't do it by yourself. You can't force anybody to walk with Jesus. Why is religion so strong? Because men have not met the Holy Ghost. When you meet the Holy Ghost, your religion fades off. It's a passing glory. It's a passing glory. It's a passing glory. And today is the beginning of those days. When His glory revealed will begin to flow from our inside. You will not be able to stop. You will see things happening and it will surprise you, amaze you. You will wonder, where did this thing come from? It will just flow. Why? Because there is a baptism. A baptism, an ushering into a new day. It is in that day that the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. It is in that day that we will see Him and we will not turn back. We will not turn back. This generation will not turn back. This church I'm talking about, this church that we have not seen, that I'm talking about, their signature will be beauty and holiness. We will get drunk again with his own wine. You will see housewives drunk in the spirit early morning. They say it's not yet 9 a.m. and people are already drunk. Your prayer times at 5 a.m. will breathe something deep and powerful. It will breathe something deep and powerful. Are you hearing me? Deep and powerful. It won't just be a quiet time. It will be the time for the revelation and unveiling of the day of the Lord, where your eyes will be open and you will live in two realms at the same time. That day is upon us, where we will do His will, because there is no other thing to do. The day is upon us and we have to prepare for it. Scripture tells us that in that day, oh hallelujah, the Bible says in that day, for every choice assembly, every church that speaks of this day, every church that proclaims the day of the Lord, Scripture says in that day, the Lord will create. And you look at the word create. That means for many of our assemblies that are adulterous and material and too earthly, the Lord will withdraw this dimension from them as a sign that He is not there. You didn't hear me, don't worry. Because the Lord will put in our hearts the spirit of a knowing, the spirit of knowing. You will walk into places and you will know God is not here. Then you will be required by heaven to take a stand like Moses, and you will declare, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." Because when the children of Israel were fornicating and celebrating a god of gold, a calf god, at the base of the mountain, they were not just doing, they were singing and clapping. Are you listening to me? They were playing instruments. In case you confuse the presence of God for the sound of a drum and the blowing of a trumpet, you will have so much of it in this day. But when Moses came, he said, is this commotion? God was not there. God stayed at the top of the mountain. At the base of the mountain, people were having false experiences. False. It was the same instrument they used yesterday, and God was there. Just one day that Moses had gone. Massive backsliding. In this day that I speak to you, your faith will not rest on any man. Your faith will not rest on any man, it will not rest on any experience, because you will know the Lord. Say, if any man is of the Lord, let him come to me. And grace was given to only one tribe, the remnant church, the remnant company, people who have heard the voice of the Lord in their heart and were only waiting for an interpretation to come. And they came to the side of the Lord, and the Lord said to them, today I enter into a covenant with you. And the Lord covenanted with the sons of Levi. And then we fast forward back again into Psalms, and David began to prophesy, say, call to me my servants who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. That sacrifice was not speaking of a goat or a ram, but by the things you turned your back on. That is your sacrifice. You could have been somewhere else, but you chose here. You could have been somewhere. If some of you had not followed the Lord, the only reason why you are in this country now is because of Jesus. If you had chosen to go with the opportunities in front of you, many of you would have been in the US now. Many of you would have had a better life. The reason why you are like this is because of Jesus. And you know it, though you are trying to be humble and nice about it. But no, the opportunity you walked away from. Say, call together to me those who have what? Made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Those are my Levites, my chosen ones, my choice souls, my peculiar people. Peculiar, peculiar, special, different. In that day, and that day is upon us, that day is upon us, we will find janitors who will walk in the glory of God. Oh, we will find accountants who will walk in the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. Adam was doing his work. It was not because he needed something to eat, but that was the place of his assignment. These are the days that will come upon us. The days where for everyone in alignment, there will be a measure of his glory given to them. And in that realm, you will be your level. When you are revealed and unveiled in the spirit realm, you will stand in your rank. Because we will not all be on the same rank, depending on what we walked away from. Are you listening to me? You don't need to hope for a crown. Just look at yourself and ask yourself, what did I walk away from? You will know if you should expect anything. Or if maybe you should just ask your friend, in case they give you a house and they don't give me a house, I can be squatting with you. Squatters not allowed. Amen. I remember in those days, our fathers would say, even if I can just, if he can allow me be the gate man. If that is your aim, if those are the things you are aiming for, chances are that you may not even make it to the gate. You've got to be aiming so high, so high. Somebody said that to me once. Say, I just want to be a gate man at your house. I say, brother, chances are that you might not even get to the gate, because that seems to be your height. But when you are asking him, purify me with fire, your own fire, so that when I see you, two can become one. I want to walk with you so closely that where Paul is sitting in the heavens, say, yes, that is what I am talking about. Wow, look at that young man, look at the grace of God over his life. And Peter will say, you know, I almost didn't know this thing was possible. Say, this is part of that generation. They drink and drink and drink and drink of him and drink of him and drink of him. And just when you think they have had enough, they want to drink again and again and again, until they come to that spot where they are drunk. And everything about them, they are reeking of Jesus. this is the, you get to the point where there is no more compromise, where sickness, power of death, poverty has no influence over you. The day of the church, the day marked by beauty and holiness, gloriousness, gloriousness. I want to challenge you this morning. If God is asking for it and you are struggling with it, you are about to be shortchanged. If God is asking for it and you are struggling with it, he said, I will not always strive with man. At some point, God will let you keep your idol. You've got to be careful. I said to you, whatever it is you must do, do quickly. Do quickly. If there is a mandate given to you by heaven, now is the time. That which you must do, do quickly. Because a time will come, you will not feel that pull again. You will not sense him dragging at you again. And all of a sudden you begin to feel maybe God is finally saying yes. Not knowing that he walked away a long time ago. Whatever you have heard from him, do quickly. Don't struggle with him anymore. Let him be God and you be a man. Let him be God and you be a man. Don't struggle with him. If God wants you, there's no one else that can take you. If God wants you, your best option is to give him. Don't struggle with him. Because in that day, the church that will rise, there will be the people who can talk to you about things they turn their back on. We will speak to you of wealth, even though we don't have money in our pocket. We will speak to you of healing, even when we have drugs in our pocket. We will speak of the glory of our God, even though we are also pressing into it. I preached in a church, my former church, several years ago. It was a weekly service. And as I ministered and as I preached, the Lord said to me, I felt a sharp pain pass through my head. I said, oh, this. I felt sick instantly. The Lord said, it's not you. There's someone in this place that has some ache in the head. So I gave, I said, you are here, you have a pain in your head. Come, I want to pray for you. And this brother walked out and I laid my hands on him. And I prayed a simple prayer for him. I didn't see any thunder in the skies. The least I could have expected was some kind of manifestation to give me some, you know, that addictive feel that God is confirming his word. When you speak, there should be a performance. Liberate yourself from the fear of men, from the approval of men. The brother didn't even fall, he just teared at me. And I told him, you are healed in Jesus' name. Go back to your seat. Can we go back to our message? And here comes this brother on a Sunday. There's a way you pray for people. You are not looking forward to seeing them anytime soon. Because they not only messed up your faith and the word God gave to you, the remaining anointing you had to preach, they took it away by their own unbelief. Here comes this brother on Sunday. So praise the Lord. I want to thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I was here on Wednesday. When was that service? I was Wednesday and I had migraine. I've been battling with migraine for so many years. I would wake up in the morning, I won't be able to carry my head up. I would go to bed crying because of migraine. And then on Wednesday, the man of God asked someone to come out with migraine and he laid hands on me. He said, instantly, I felt like going and just strangulate. He said, you're very wicked soul. Wicked soul. You couldn't even come to me after the service to share your testimony. You wicked soul. And here you are. Say, I never knew I would get healed. I've suffered from it. I say, oh, really? Yeah, you should really suffer because you don't even know spiritual things. God didn't even come to tell me like, thank you for praying for him, oh. Thank you for listening to me. For God, it was not an issue. God's issue was, I told you to say something and you said it. Case closed. Whether the person comes to give a testimony or not, that's his personal problem, not yours. My own problem with you is, if you are not doing what I tell you, in that day, this church of instruction
will be beautiful and glorious. I look at the brother. In fact, the next thing that brought us together, he was even charging me money. You see, people, miracles will not save this world, though. I needed to do a job for me, and he gave me a very long list. Me, I even thought, you know, as men of God, you say, man of God, don't worry. The guy collected his money. No time. The guy, you are not here. You are not here to play with anybody. You okay. Sir, you do a transfer to my account. I get back to you in 3 days. I say, no problem, sir. I'll get back to you. I just love the guy. But the guy was healed. I didn't feel anything. If you are waiting to feel God's presence, to even begin to get an idea that God is here, you are waiting to feel, you'll be tied to this realm. Peradventure, God might allow you to get some feeling, but if you wait for it, you'll miss the train. I want to encourage you this morning. Go back home. Kill your Isaacs. Those are the things that will stand between you and your day of glory. Go back home. Take that Isaac. Kill it. I'm not killing you. I still need you on that keyboard. I need you on that keyboard. I ain't talking about you. So, amen. I don't need to run away. Amen. It's not you. Because most of the things that has created the contention are the things the Lord Himself gave to us. Many times we do not know that we are standing at the edge of something that is major in the agenda of God. Because God did not tell Abraham that years and hundreds of years after, he will bring his son to that same mountain and kill him there. That spot where Abraham was going to offer Isaac was the same spot Jesus was crucified in history. Every time God will require you to take a step, it will be in faith. He will keep all the information and just require you to be stupid. And if you cannot deal with that level of stupidity, you will not be relevant in his day. Years after, God was just trying to look for someone to agree with him on the earth. Years after, I am going to bring my son and he will be killed on this mountain. But I need someone to model it. Like an architect, you will create a model for the structure. And you will kill, as far as God was concerned, he killed Isaac that day. But so that you will know that the work of redemption is not the work of a man. The moment he lifted the sword, God said, stay your hand. Look beside you. I have provided myself a lamp. The one who died on that day, that we know as Jesus, was a provision of the Lord himself. The Lord himself provided himself the sacrifice. No man can write you off. No man can write the last chapter of your life. You can't allow what people say or what people are not saying, or the gaze, the spoken words you get when they look into your eyes, to determine your depth of walk with God. You can't allow a man of God, a woman of God, a woman of Satan. You can't allow your dad, you can't allow your mom to stop you from getting an accurate gaze into the agenda of God for your life, simply because you think they know. God has prepared for himself the sacrifice. God called you. God gave you an assignment. He has also made the provision. But he will require you to be stupid for once in your life and just take instructions. Your knowledge is giving you a lot of problem. You are knowing too much, and that is your problem. You are knowing too much. You are not looking for theological and explanation to what you thought you heard. What you heard is what you heard. And I was in a vision, and Lord was telling me, we're going to start this church. And I saw myself on that virgin land. And then I heard myself, as I spoke that, I was watching myself in the future. And I heard myself say, in that vision, say the name of this work will be called Ilukweju. And I rose out of that. where is Luke Peju for Christ's sake? I've been driving past this place. I've never had any business to do here. So I said to my friend, Pastor Ralph, I said, the name of the walk will be called the Luke Peju. That will be the starting point. He said, is there anywhere called the Luke Peju? I said, yes, somewhere in Lagos. He said, go there. I said, no, you see, I think there's a prophetic explanation to that word. He said, no, go there. When we were looking for a place for my friend Pastor Desmond, where they were going to do church, agent after agent, I got down Association Road. I walked straight. I saw a man standing by the road. I said, I'm looking for a building, and I described the building. I said, they want to use that place for a church. He just told me, go there. And I walked there again, and I got to the front of the building. I said, I'm looking for a hall that is currently vacant with seats in it that can sit like 100-150 people. They say, climb up. And I climbed up. I said, are you the person here? I said, I'm looking for a hall that is empty and can be paid for now. They said, follow me. And I followed them. And they said, this is the number. Say, call. And I called. The guy just said to me, when do you want to start? I said, eh? I just walked into the place like I saw it in my vision. I just walked in like that. But God will require you to be stupid. You've got to be stupid enough for Him. You've got to be stupid enough to say it the way He says it. You've got to be stupid enough to give people a second chance. You've got to be stupid enough to know that God is not done with people that you're about to give up on. Somebody is saying to me, Pastor, everybody is telling me to walk out of my marriage. What are you saying to me? I say, stay there. Fight for your home. Fight for your children. I say, Pastor, I can't do it anymore. I say, you will do it. Pastor, I am tired. This is almost 20 years of marriage. I said, if you walk out of that marriage, your husband will never be redeemed. Say, Pastor, do you have my back on this? I say, we're in this together. We must stop being self-centered. It's time to look past your weakness and go save somebody. Stop waiting for God to fix you. Stop waiting for God to fix you before you attempt to help fix others. Your healing is in the journey. Your healing is in that journey. I'm struggling with homosexuality. Go out there and tell people they can be free. Don't give yourself that false, self-righteous posture. I know how He saved me. Shut up. Some of us are still broken. God is looking for people like that young lady who didn't need any preacher to tell her she's a sinner. But she came with that oil in the alabaster box. Very expensive. I think that's 1 year's wages. Poured it on his feet and used her long hair, symbolic of her glory. All her achievements. Everything that ever meant anything to her. She knelt at the master's feet and used that hair to cleanse his feet. It was not just what she did. She touched something in the heart of God. And Jesus said, wherever this gospel is being preached, the symbol of your glory dropped at my feet. This message of redemption, of how grace finds the unworthy, how mercy can pick up that person which is broken, will be spoken of you. Jesus said that in the midst of Pharisees, sad to see. Jesus said that in the midst of people who thought they knew. But Jesus never said that to them. He said that to the person who knew enough that except he picks me up from here, I am wasted. Go back home. Fight for your homes. Fight for your family. Don't assume your father is on the way to heaven. Pray him into the kingdom. Don't assume your mom is on her way to heaven. Pray her in. You are better off 35 dead, buried, but with Jesus 95, dead, buried without Jesus. The truth is, if God will not judge sinners, he will apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. That is the truth. That is the truth. We have to stop being self-centered. Others have walked this path before we got there, and God is now requiring us to do the same. No more excuses. No more excuses. Take those excuses, set them on fire. Say to Jesus, if you can do anything with my life, if there's anything in my life that can give you glory, here I am. Send me. Here I am with all my brokenness, with all my pain, with all my failures. I can't take them anywhere. But you said to me, come unto me, all you that am. Don't run anymore. He's waiting. Bring that stuff to him. Bring that stuff to him. Bring that load. Bring that pain. Bring that frustration. So that he can save you and deploy you in the path of your destiny. You can't continue to do things this way and expect a different outcome. You look at the people in the world. They take their time to build their path into where they are going to. And you just want to be an overnight success. Come on, brother. In these last days, God is going to anoint men more than he anointed Reinhard Bonnke. God is going to anoint men more than he anointed Charles Finney. These are men who walked in glory. Oh, hallelujah. These are men and women who walked in glory. Oh, hallelujah. God is going to anoint men and women more than the way Maria Woodward-Hetta was anointed. How many of you know Maria Woodward-Hetta? She will stand after preaching and she will wave two fingers, and people without eye sockets will just pow. They will start seeing. But she preached in a time when women were not allowed to talk. She preached in a time when women couldn't vote. But because of the glory of God upon her life, men were afraid of her. She will wear a flowing white gown and she will come into a building. They will give her just 30 minutes to preach and give the men 1 hour 30 minutes to preach. She knew she didn't have all the time. She will begin to speak about the finished work of Christ. She will begin to speak about the glory of God. And when she's done, she will lift her hands to heaven and then wave it. All of a sudden, cripples will jump up. The blind will begin to see. She didn't pray. She will just wave her hands. And the glory will move in that direction. Tumors gone. Blind eyes see. Cripples begin to jump up. And the meeting will be so scattered. The men with the 1 hour 30 minutes will be able to preach again. How do you control an environment where miracles happen at once? Which usher? Slain in the spirit. People caught up in the glory. How do you control that type of atmosphere? How do you control that type of atmosphere? Where the glory of God has preeminence and free reign. How do you control a land that is touched by God? How do you control a life touched by God? That could be you. That could be you. That could be you. Bring your crowns. Drop it at his altar. Bring your achievements. Drop it at his feet. 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 Bring your crowns. Bring your crowns. Bring your glory. Drop them at his feet. Bring your crowns. Bring your achievements. Drop them at his feet. See what God can do when he lays his hand on you. See what Jesus can do when he touches you. See what Jesus can do when his glory rests upon you. Come see the glory of the Lord. Come and see the glory of the Lord. Come and see the glory of the Lord. Come and see the glory of the Lord. May your eyes be open. May your eyes be open. Right now, 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 may your eyes be open. May your eyes be open. May your eyes be open. May your
open. May your eyes be 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 open. Let the glory of God be seen in this place. Let all flesh be subdued before him. Let the glory of God rest upon this tabernacle.
My master.
Let the glory of God rest upon this tabernacle. Sit amongst us as a refiner's fire. Sit amongst us as a refiner's fire. Sit amongst us like a refiner's fire. Change us. Touch us. Touch. Touch us. The days of your glory, the days of your glory, the days of your glory, the days of your glory are here. The days of your presence, the days of the manifestation of your sons are here. Walking in the full weight of your glory, walking in the full weight of your power, walking in the spirit of truth and accuracy.
There is hope in the promise of the Lord.
Alla Shitresa. Brasi Ladesh. Rise to your feet, people of God. Kamro Shatele Dasahila. Mamra Shitala.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Body Emmanuel Center. Satellite bus stop, Ikodu Road, Ilupeju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.